relationships, your sexuality, and basically anything to do with how your body feels as well, with how we deal with life. And today, I was kind of spurred on to this topic by a recent CBC, I think it was, a newspaper article about someone who had been abused by their partner and had taken them to court, and it had not gone well for the victim in this case. And the judge had sort of erred on the side of favoring the accused person, and letting them off pretty easy as far as sentencing goes, to do with having had some abusive or manipulative or even physically abusive behavior in the relationship. And I wanted to talk about this because it's coming up more and more in our world. As you know, a few years ago with the Me Too movement, everybody started jumping on the bandwagon of calling out people that were abusive. And I think this is an amazing step forward for our culture to actually not be hiding abusers behind systemic issues, systemic walls of privilege, which definitely are still there, and we don't need to go into too much of that. There's many instances where abusers hide behind their position or their privilege or their power. But when we come down to just us getting in a relationship or meeting a new person and starting that dance of intimacy that we all kind of, or I don't know if you all cringe about it, but I cringe about, you know, that whole, like, the first few weeks, it's exciting, but it's also, you don't know what they think of you, you don't know what you think of them, there's just this whole thing going on. So it's interesting to start working with that. So I just wanted to bring up this topic to see if we could discuss a little bit about this kind of abusive situation, and about whether we call somebody out right away, or do we do some self-reflection on the abuse and whether we are actually having an abuse situation, or whether this is something that is, you know, all relationships are mirrors of ourselves in a way. And is this something that is bringing up an issue for us to look at in ourselves? So I think our culture now has come to this point of being very much focused on the other person. So are they good enough for me? You know, do they earn enough money? Do they look good enough? There's all the outward appearance stuff. But then there's also the, like, are they genuine? Are they kind? Are they trustworthy? Are they, you know, do they pay attention to me when we're going out? Do they put their phone down? All these things that we, you know, bring up in a first or second or third date. We want to know if they're, you know, good to their family. Do they take time with their kids? You know, what are they like as a parent? We want to know all of these things. And that's all, these are all great things to know. And are we actually asking ourselves those same questions? Like, are we actually showing up with that same type of self-reflection that we're expecting from the other person? And I would say that many times the answer, unfortunately, is no. We're very curious about the other person being all of these things, but we're not so aware of ourselves. And so, you know, this isn't about turning it back, everything back on ourselves. If someone's abusive to the extent of physical abuse, or really name calling or insulting you, those types of things, that is definitely something to bring out in the open. And if you can't talk about it, or if they become more abusive when you try to bring it up, then that's definitely something to back away from. But what I would ask myself if I was having that response is, why am I attracted to these people? Or what am I doing? You know, what is attracting me to these people? What am I looking for in a partner? You know, when I come to the table and I go out on a date and somebody is saying to me, you know, well, women are only good for this, or, you know, you're such a bitch because you didn't come and, you know, you didn't call me back right away, or those types of things, how am I going to deal with that? And, or am I going to deal? Am I just going to walk out? You know, do I throw my drink in his face? Do I stomp out in a big drama scene? Do I say, you know, that seems really, you know, not a very great way of saying that. If, you know, what is behind your ask? If you want me to call you right away, what are your expectations around that? And it gives you an opportunity to actually start having these really good communications with a potential partner. Or often, even with the partners we've been with for a long time, we've never really talked to them about our expectations. And we just, you know, get angry. And then we're like, well, you're just being abusive. You're shouting at me. You're doing this and that. And it's very easy to just blame the other person, but not take a look at what are we doing as well. And I think, you know, this has to be taken with a grain of salt, because obviously we don't want to go back to the turning the tables back on the victim. And, you know, many manipulative people are really good at saying, oh, well, you haven't looked at yourself. You don't realize that you're triggering me, that you're doing this and that. That's definitely no excuse for shouting or for having these types of behaviors. But we as the victims, if we are feeling like a victim in this sort of case, can end up being the same, having the same issue, having the same, you know, things that we're calling others out for, we're actually doing ourselves. And this is where I think it becomes a little more complex, and we may actually be inviting this type of partner into our lives, or this type of person into our lives, if we're actually doing that ourselves. If we are always rushing around expecting everyone else to be respectful, to be, you know, have lots of patience, to talk to us with a good tone of voice, but then when we get stressed out, it's fine for us to go flying off the handle and, you know, throwing our phone on the floor or across the room and shouting and screaming and stomping our feet and going to, you know, having a little tantrum. If we're doing those types of things, then, you know, we often are kind of attracting those trauma type people in, you know, as well, or we're actually kind of inciting that whole behavior with people around us. So we have to actually look at that. So I think, you know, without kind of blaming one side or the other, there's usually a more complex relational piece going on. If somebody is in a relationship where they're feeling like they are the victim of abuse, like domestic abuse, relational abuse, you know, manipulative, narcissistic abuse, if you feel like you're in this type of relationship, then, you know, first thing is, can I talk to this person? Am I afraid to talk to this person? If I'm afraid to talk to this person, what am I going to do about that? You know, if I'm afraid to bring up a difficult topic because they're going to get abusive or shout or storm out or, you know, something, is that true? Are they actually going to escalate, you know, the violent, you know, response? And if so, then what am I doing in this relationship anyway? There would be something I would ask myself. And if I'm not sure if that's true, if I'm just afraid to bring it up because I'm afraid that they might leave me, that I might be abandoned, that they won't like me anymore, that they won't find me attractive, that, you know, they won't want to hang out with me, that we won't have I wanted to have a nice relaxing time, watch a movie tonight. And if I bring up a difficult topic, maybe they're not going to want to talk to me, you know, and they'll just leave. And then the whole night will be ruined. If you're afraid of things like that, and that stops you from bringing up important topics to discuss, then I would also ask myself, why am I in this relationship? You know, what are my expectations? If this is a best buddy to come over and watch relationships, and we're not actually going to deal with anything more than that, great. But if this is someone that I'm contemplating being in a serious relationship with, and I am afraid to bring up anything for discussion because they might leave, then is that my fear, or is that what they're all actually going to do? So this is some ideas for actually thinking about. I know I've worked with some people, women particularly, but men as well, they just don't want to bring things up. They're like, oh, well, we planned a really good date night, and I don't want to bring it up right now. So here's the thing as well. You don't have to bring it up and talk about it right now. You could bring it up and say, hey, I know we have a great night planned tonight, and I want to definitely do that. Can we put something on the books to talk about, you know, our relationship. Maybe in the next week, we could make it another time to talk about some of our relationship expectations or agreements. And then you just put that aside. And how good are we at putting that aside? I know for myself, and I'll just talk for myself here, that when I was, you know, into kind of a lot of these drama things in relationships, I wouldn't be able to let it go. I was like, no, I feel all revved up and, you know, hot under the collar about this topic, and we have to talk about it right now. And, you know, this hardly ever goes well. It hardly ever goes well. And you got to think about it as if someone came to you and you were, you know, maybe you didn't sleep that well, you didn't have your shower yet, your coffee's still not even in your cup, and, you know, somebody comes in and says, we have to have a really important discussion right friggin' now. Are you going to be in the mood for talking about it? Are you going to give it your best attention? Are you going to be able to be in a great headspace for dealing with a difficult issue? Probably not. Probably not. So we have to offer our partners and our friends and our colleagues the same type of respect that we are actually asking for. Like, how nice would it be if somebody came up to you, you know, and said, hey, I'm really looking forward to date night tonight. I've got a really, like, we've got a lovely evening planned. Let's go and enjoy that. And I would really love to have a deeper conversation about some things in our relationship. So let's put that on the table for next time so that, you know, we have a nice night tonight and then we arrange to have a more serious discussion next time. And, you know, this would be maybe our respectful way of saying, hey, that's actually a good way of doing it, right? So we're not just expect, you know, not respecting the other person either. So I know as well for me, when I was having these types of relationships, and even now, my partner is a lovely partner now, but even now, you know, I can be very much like, I need this right now, this way, and you have to stop whatever you're doing and listen to me. And this is, you know, this can be hard for people. We're expecting a lot of someone to be able to drop whatever they're doing and get themselves in a mood to listen to us. So there's one thing that I see a lot of, and it's that we actually can create more kind of manipulative or abusive behavior within a relationship, even if it's not necessarily has to be that way. Like, the person isn't, we're not talking horrible abusers here. We're just talking about how the relationship goes. And some relationships tend to fall into that pattern of my needs are more important than everything else, and you have to drop everything and listen to me. And then when it comes to the other person needing to talk, maybe they're not so good at bringing things up, or they're not so good at asking for what they need, and it becomes very one-sided. And so then for that other person, the only way that they can kind of have a say in the relationship, if they don't have good communication skills, is to, you know, start giving you the silent treatment, or they start staying after work late and they don't come home. You know, I had one client recently, she's like, every time I'm having a hard week, my partner suddenly needs to work late every night. Well, is that her partner's fault? Is that her fault? I don't think we need to say it's anyone's fault. Would it be classed as abuse that, oh, I need some extra attention, I'm having a hard week, and now you all of a sudden are staying late after work, you know? And then, I don't know, in this particular case, she was like, oh, now I, you know, now you're having an affair, da da da. She accused him of a whole bunch of things, and that's not going to go well, right? Because maybe he's just having a hard week too, and coming home to more difficulties is overwhelming. Right? We can definitely all get overwhelmed. It's no surprise to anyone that people get overwhelmed these days, particularly. So we really have to take a step back from the actual, you know, needs that we have in the moment and say, is this something that is the best way of handling this? And if I handle it well, and if I ask for something, and I feel like I've asked well, a number of times, and it's not being listened to, or it's made things worse, or they have actually been abusive, then maybe there's something there that I need to look at. And then I need to ask myself, why am I still here? What am I getting from this relationship? is this a challenge to me to kind of fix this person, to get them to realize, you know, how to listen to someone? You know, what am I doing here? And I think this is often like when I work with particularly women again on these types of relationships, you know, when we get into it, we have to start asking ourselves, what are we actually getting from these types of relationships? Sometimes it's it goes as deep as, you know, this is how I get self-respect, is by being in a difficult relationship, having to deal with all, you know, somewhat abusive situations, and then being able to survive those situations and tell everyone about it. That's actually how I get my self-esteem. So there's a really serious thing to think about. Is that what I'm doing? Am I, you know, and I say this with all due respect to all of us, because this is kind of one of those things I did. I got my energy and my self-esteem and my validation and my positive, like, I can do anything in life by fixing someone else and by, you know, overcoming obstacles. So I say that from an absolute place of knowing how easy it is to get drawn into that. So if that's what we're doing in this relationship, and then we get angry with that person because they're doing those things, they're needing us to fix them, and they're, you know, giving us a hard time, and then we have stories to tell our friends about, oh my God, he came home in such a bad mood, he threw everything, you know, all over the place, and then we have a story of like, oh, how much have I put up with? I must be a wonderful person. If that's where we're going with this, then we need to ask, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what is our part in this? And how would I really like a relationship to look? And how can I dial it back and get to the place of having more patience and having an ability to be really upfront with what I'm doing here? And I have to be a completely, you know, complete disclosure here. It took me probably 2 years to get out of the drama, to get out of my own drama, and not to feel anxiety when things were going well. So, you know, I have, a great partner now, and things are actually, you know, we're going well in the first year or two, and I would sit there drumming my fingers going, oh my God, like what, you know, almost like I needed to create a problem because this felt way too weird to have no problems. And so, you know, sometimes we actually have to train ourselves to having a better relationship and to being in that less drama, less up and down, you know, a less addictive place. So what I really wanted to bring up in this podcast, this is a huge topic. And for those of you who don't know, I have a coaching program for women, particularly in recovering from emotional abuse relationships, and to really transform and go deep with this. So this is really my, you know, one of my topics of interest. And I've actually seen a couple of men with the same issues. So this is not just a gender thing. And sometimes if you're, you know, not on the gender binary, you may still have more of this, because then, you know, there's a whole bunch of other dynamics that come in there. But I've worked with this a lot. I feel like there's a lot we can learn about ourselves. There's a lot we can transform about ourselves. This is a huge topic, and I don't want to even pretend that we're going to cover it all today. But what I really wanted to bring up was, you know, it sometimes is better for us to just look at ourselves, look at what we're doing and why we're doing it, and then really make a decision, make a choice for ourselves. Is this a relationship that I want to work on? Do I want to work on myself and the relationship with this person? And answer that really honestly. And if it's not somebody that I want to work with or work on myself with, then, you know, why am I staying? And figure that out and be honest with yourself. If you're staying because, you know, I had one woman, she stayed because he had $1 million. She had a nice house, she had a boat, she lived on a lake. It was really tough to leave. He was away much of the time. So, in, you know, I'm like, no judgment. If you want to stay in that relationship and you're going to put up with abusive situations, you know, 1 week a month, and you can keep your nice house, we'll keep your nice house. But don't be saying, poor you. This is a choice. And if you want to get out of that, you can get out of that relationship, but it's going to take effort, it's going to take time, and you probably won't have a $1 million house on a lake right away. You might be able to make it yourself, you know, for sure. Absolutely. But we've got to really be honest with ourselves. And that's just one reason people stay. You know, we stay for all sorts of reasons. We stay for our kids. We stay because we actually literally don't have a way out yet. In which case, you know, let's start making a plan. There is choice to be made every day. And again, I say with absolute like disclosure, you know, my mother said to me, you know, you have a choice. You could go to a women's shelter right now. You could give up your kids for adoption and leave. You know, these are your choices. It might not be a good choice, but you have a choice. So if you're choosing to stay, figure out why. And then, you know, get yourself in a good place about it. And if you're choosing to stay in a relationship where someone is not, you know, really, really far down on that abusive scale, but maybe they just don't, you know, maybe they just have a little bit of anger management. Maybe they just talk to you rudely sometimes, but they're willing to kind of work on it. Are you willing to work on your stuff? You know, have you gone to counseling? Has he gone to counseling or she gone to counseling? Have you worked on the relationship together? Are you willing to put some effort in, learn some ways of, you know, having boundaries and ways of communicating better, ways of setting up your life so you're not always in stress mode? There's lots of things you can do within a relationship to pull it out of this this kind of avalanche that can lead to more and more abuse. We've all seen those movies and the stories about, you know, it started off with just little things and it got worse and worse and worse. And that can be definitely all one person's fault in a way, if we're going to lay blame, but it's most likely to do with the relationship itself. It was funny. One lady I talked to recently said, you know, she was in a 3-year relationship with this guy. She would felt like she had to do everything for him. And now she's broken up with him finally. He's going and doing all the things that she was trying to do for him, and he's doing them on his own. She's like, I didn't know he had it in him. I thought I had to do all that for him. So it's interesting to see what happens when we actually get out of those relationships, that sometimes that person actually can do more than we think they can. So there's these types of relationships, and they, you know, are complex. I think that we need to get, as a culture, coming back to that CBC report about taking an abusive situation to court and then having it rule in the abuser's favor, we need to become much more adept at reading people's manipulative behavior. We need to call that out. We need to really get better at being authentic and at calling out and really being careful with people that say all the right things and, you know, look perfect. And, you know, part of my intro when I was trying to write this up was, you know, if somebody looks perfect and we're looking for perfect, we're probably going to get something that is really not perfect at all. If somebody, you know, if we kind of own our own faults and come together with someone else, then maybe we have a chance, right? Maybe we can be with this person and work on ourselves with them. Hey, I have this to work on, you have that to work on. That's awesome. Let's both commit to doing some work. And relationships are hard work. They are not easy because they point out everything and, you know, everything that we need to work on. We call up partners often to bring up an opportunity to overcome something that we have lived with since, you know, usually since childhood. And if we've had a hard time in childhood, you know, in whatever way, like one of our parents did certain things, all of that, you know, it's hard to bring that up. So I noticed some of you are wanting to kind of call in. If you want to put your question in the comments, I'd be happy to read it out. I'm not super great at the podcasting technology yet. So if you want to type in a question, absolutely. I'll stay on for a couple minutes and see. But that's, you know, that's the thing, is we want to actually realize that relationships are work, and that if we're looking for perfection, we're looking for the happily ever after, we're actually going to find probably a narcissist, probably somebody who is really good at creating that perfect look without having, you know, without having anything to back it up without having any depth. And we also want to, you know, we also want to make sure that we're not going with someone that is, you know, always saying, oh, it's my fault. I'm so bad at this. I suck at that. Like, if someone's actually saying all of that, but not doing anything to change it, that's a red flag too. So I see that, yeah, that this can be a depressing place right now, and having people to talk to about this is interesting. So I do offer breakthrough calls and free consult if you would like to talk about working with me or learn more about what is going on for you in your relationships. Absolutely can recommend that you go to my website, ailsakeppi.com. So that's ailsakeppie.com/apply. That'll get you to my calendar. You can book a free call. We will talk about relationships, what's going on in your relationship, and, you know, where do you want to go with it? So this is a hard time for many people. And I had a couple, I actually worked with a couple last weekend, and, you know, they were having a really hard time. She was suicidal. He's got a son who's suicidal. There's just a ton of things going on in their life, and their relationship was breaking down, not because their relationship is bad. And, you know, he started staying late at work, and she would shout at him every time he came home. And you could say from either side, this is relational abuse going on, right? They're starting to blame each other and take out their own frustration with each other, which is what happens often when we do have difficult times. So, you know, by hook or by crook, she got herself here, and her partner comes as well and actually does Tai Chi class while she does therapy with me. And, you know, it didn't take much. It just needed someone to, you know, be there while you have a good cry. Say, you know what? This is going to be okay. You know, we're mostly all scared. We're mostly all scared right now. I think we're scared of what the world is bringing up. We're scared of going out in public. We're scared of meeting up with anyone new. We're scared of relationships. We're scared of ourselves. So we'll have to do another podcast about how fear can end up ruling our entire life and, you know, just keeping us in that dark place. So, you know, if you're scared of being alone, you can end up staying in a relationship that's not great just because you're too scared to be alone. I dealt with this as well. It took me 2 or 3 years, I would say, to get over my fear of being alone. And it wasn't until I realized that, hey, I kind of am alone a lot of the time, and I'm raising my 4 kids, and I'm not getting child support, and I'm doing okay. How, it's not going to be that different to be, you know, not married anymore to this person. So I would say, you know, if things are getting you down, just know that you're not alone. Reach out, figure out who you need to reach out to, and reach out. And I know that's a hard thing to do when you feel in that dark place. It's sometimes the hardest thing to do, but the same as relationships are hard and speaking up is hard and looking at ourselves are hard, you know, lots of stuff is hard. And just one little step in the right direction, like ask yourself that question, why am I in this relationship that I'm in? And then, you know, do some journaling about that. That is your solo work. You do not need anybody else to do that. You can sit down. Most of us can get hold of a pen and paper. If you can't, you know, write on your tablet or on your phone, somewhere you can write a few things down. Write down, why am I in the place I'm in now? What is one choice I have right now? I could stay, you know, in my room in bed, or I could get up and have a shower. And that's already a choice. As soon as you make that choice, you make the next choice. Well, I could get dressed and go out and get some groceries, or I could go back to bed and pull the covers over my head. There's another choice. Make the next choice. All of this can lead us step by step by step to making some of the bigger choices. So if the big choices, and if relationship abuse and things, these types of big topics are really weighing down on you, make a little choice. Make a little choice. Act on the choice. Go to the next one. Make that little choice. We set up in our energy field success. You know, it's like that saying that making your bed is the first thing you can do in the day, your to-do list, you check it off, you feel better, you do the next task. It's sort of like that. I know that sounds really trite kind of advice, but that is, it honestly works. Figure out what you have a choice about. Do you want coffee or tea? Do you want, you know, cold cereal or oatmeal? Like, you have a choice somewhere in your life. You can make a choice. You know, so decide on what you're going to do, make that choice, and then do it, make the next choice. And before you know it, you'll be making these bigger choices about how you want to be in relationship, whether you want to work with a coach or a therapist on something that you're interested in working on. Those bigger issues will come down the road. So that's my advice for you know, if you're feeling like you can't even get to a place of making, you know, getting anywhere. Hopefully that gives you something to work with. It's been such a pleasure having some of you here live. I hope those of you that listen later will have some aha moments or just some food for thought in your relationship. And as I mentioned, you can look me up on ailsakepi.com or also my relationship coaching website, pleasureforhealth.com, same as the podcast. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear how you like the podcast. If there's a topic you'd like me to talk about, definitely let me know, and I will be more than happy to do my best. So have a wonderful day today for the rest of the day. Make a choice. Take some time and think about your relationship. What do you want to change? How do you want it to be different? What can you do to start that process? All right, this is Ailsa saying goodbye for now, and thank